such sights to show you.
Okay.
You ready? You good?
Yeah, I'm just... there's literally no funny, witty, clever way.
Our minds on that TV, huh?
You know, it's just... this movie isn't as good as I remember it being.
Yeah. Well...
That's
there was a little bit of size. We'll get into it, obviously, but, you know.
Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes, who's more excited about my TV than I am, I think.
I love TVs. I want one so bad. I almost bought one with my bonus. I almost did.
I'm picking up my first big kid TV, because all the TVs in my apartment right now are either not mine or it was a gift from my parents, so.
That's interesting. See, I had a big kid TV, but I gave it to my parents before I moved to Los Angeles.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah, it's 55 inches, though.
Yeah, well, the one that I just got was 55 inches, so it's going to...
It's badass, I will tell you.
I'm very excited, especially because, I mean, the day that we're recording this, we have the day off of work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to spend all day tomorrow, I'm going to close all the blinds and just, like, watch.
Oh, you're going to veg out there. That's going to be good.
It's going to be awesome, so... Anyway, today we are talking about a movie that actually, I think, benefits from not watching on a big screen.
Yeah, well...
I watched it on a smaller screen, and I was like, I feel like if I had watched this on a bigger TV, it wouldn't have been as cool.
It kind of makes it, it's a little too HD for what it is. I don't
it's
know how
true,
to describe it.
Because it cuts from, really, really cool HD to, interviews that were... made with what I can only assume to be a VHS camcorder.
Just standard definition. You know, but when you put it up,
next to each other.
But,
anyway.
I don't know. I saw on the big screen. The thing is, though, the scary parts were, extra scary.
Oh, I bet.
But then, the character moments, there's, way more of that. So seeing that, I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is your camcorder footage. I'm watching on a giant fucking projector right now.
There's, that's the resounding, consensus about this movie.
Yeah.
And that movie is The Houses October Built from 2014.
Yes.
Which is such a cool title.
It is. It's a very cool title.
I love the title of the movie, and that's initially what drew me to it.
I feel like fucking... What's his name? The house that Jack built.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the fucking director's name? I hate him.
Lars von Trier.
Lars von Trier. I was thinking Lars Berman, but I know his version of the house that... Jack Bill would be way different. He's singing and chopping up a little kid just like...
That's funny.
Uma Thurman and...
I was just talking to Caitlin. Hi, Caitlin. The other day about Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, the Lars Berman.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Lars von Trier's Romeo and Juliet? Ooh, that'd be fucked up.
That would be cool, too. Gosh. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we got to keep going because this episode, well, first of all, happy birthday, me.
Yes, it's your birthday month. What are we doing?
So for the entire month of June, I have some fun selections. This is probably the weakest selection.
You're like, but I'm kicking it off with it.
But I'm kicking off with it because it's my party and I'll pick what I want to.
There you go.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. I do recommend watching it, though, because if you like found footage, I think you'll like this movie. And if you like Halloween, I think you'll like this movie.
I think if you like Halloween, you'll love this movie.
The holiday, not the movie.
Yeah, no, definitely not. If you're looking for, real artistic Carpenter-esque horror, this is not it.
No.
But if you like mazes and shit, this is, kind of ideal.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
So the synopsis from IMDb is as follows. Five friends are stalked by a group of mysterious and disturbed individuals while on a road trip looking for the ultimate haunted house attraction.
Ooh, the ultimate. Ooh, my God.
It's gotta be more extreme.
Ugh.
God, I hate these bitches.
I think it's got to be more extreme would be in Lars Berman's The House That Jack Built.
They're looking for the Lars von Trier experience.
They are.
And
they
get it.
They definitely do.
They get there.
They're looking for the Lars von Trier. That's right. That's a good point.
That's what they're looking for. Yeah. In some moments, it's not the Lars von Trier experience. It's more like when they're in that bar.
Yeah. That's
I'm unsettled.
Oh, that deeply. Got a little grimy.
That was Robert Rodriguez's.
Jesus. Much, much less funny, though.
True. Anyway, so this was directed by Bobby Rowe, who was also in the movie, produced by Zach Andrews, who was also in the movie, and Steven Schneider, who was not in the movie. Written by Zach Andrews, Bobby Rowe, and Jason Zada, all of whom were in... Oh, wait, Jason was not in the movie.
Jason's not, okay.
The story was also by Bobby Rowe, Zach Andrews, and Jeff Larson, who was in the movie.
I was gonna say, I think he's in the movie.
The cast is Brandi Schaefer, Zach Andrews, Bobby Rowe, Mikey Rowe, and Jeff Larson, all playing themselves respectively.
God damn.
It was released on October 10th, 2014. It had a limited theatrical release, and then it was released in video on demand in January of 2015.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then limited release, no earning information I could find, and then it made less than $100,000 from video and DVD sales.
And it got a sequel, huh? That's interesting.
Well, the reason why is because streaming services bought the rights to this bitch, and it became
there you go. It became
well known in horror circles.
That makes, I mean, it has a cool name.
It has a great name.
Cool cover.
It's kind of entertaining enough.
I agree. Especially if you're like looking, if you have like a found footage fix that you're not quite sure.
Yes. If you are a found footage fan like myself, and you will watch whatever the fuck. Like
and you've been burned. If you've been burned in the past, this is not going to really burn you.
No, this is safe.
Yes.
This is safe.
Safe, exactly. It's very dark, but very safe, yes.
I mean, whatever. That's fine.
It comes with the territory.
Yeah, that comes with the territory of being a horror fan, right? But yeah, so it's currently on circulation between Netflix and Hulu. It goes between being available to stream on both of those services.
Oh, cool. A little hot potato over here with this
one. Yeah, because okay. I went to go watch it. I'm like, oh, it's definitely on Netflix. And then I searched, and it was definitely on Hulu. And I was
I'm pretty sure I've seen this art and title on Netflix before.
It was definitely on Netflix up until pretty recently. But it's on Hulu right now. So if you have... I mean, it's also a pretty quick watch. It's like a cool 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's fast. It's very, very fast. So. Just a... My roommates were all talking shit the whole time, though, so it was a pretty interesting experience, because I'm like, oh, you have to be pretty horror-centric to enjoy this movie, I think.
Are your roommates not horror-centric?
Well, I remember one of them, well, he didn't watch the whole thing, it was at the beginning, they were just like, yeah, there's some parts where they're just like, huh, what the fuck is that? Like, but then I don't know how they'd operate in, like, actual mazes.
No, yes.
That's different, because I feel like that's a big division between people. We absorb that shit.
As a haunt aficionado,
mm-hmm.
this movie also appeals to me in that particular sense. Mm-hmm. I love going to haunts. Like, yes. I love, it's just,
oh.
It's,
oh, we've been to Halloween Horror Nights.
And I've been to many others, and we will talk about that later as well. So I'm very excited. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit about, well, Anthony's going to tell us a little bit about the history of haunts.
Of haunts? Yeah, exactly. That's... perfect transition right there. Not too much of a reach. We're getting better at this.
It's been long enough. Right. This is whatever.
But since there is not a lot to go on for this movie online, we're going to take this opportunity to just deep dive into haunts, why they're fucking cool, and of course, why we both love them so much.
Yeah.
So haunts, or haunted attractions, Halloween mazes, whatever you want to call them, is a culture of Halloween events that is predominantly American because we just love being terrorized.
Yeah, know? I don't it, like when I looked at, when I was looking this up. Like, there's not a lot in in other countries.
No, I feel like
they're like no.
They'd be like, "What's wrong with you?" Yeah, exactly. We're like, we're right there, like just between slaps in the face. Like, they're not gonna do it, but like,
oh no, in some they do.
Oh, cool. Okay, well. All right, let's get further into this then. The typical haunted attraction starts operating during the week of late September or early October to the last week of October or the first week of November for all the stragglers. Yes.
Well, or, you know, for those of us who don't make a shit ton of money and, you know, want to get those cheap tickets.
Cheap tickets, that's right. Everybody's all thinking about Thanksgiving and shit. Like, look at my fucking turkey hands. Like, you want
to
see hands?
Going to Halloween Horror Nights in late September is pretty fun, though.
Is it?
Well, it's a nice...
Oh, I always do late September. What am I talking about?
Yeah, when we went, it was late September.
It's always... I don't know why.
It's cheaper, and then also everyone still has that, like... It's just a fun way to kick off the season.
It's like the fans are out there. They're like... We want to get scared as soon as possible. We all love this shit, so we're all doing it. Yeah.
I really hope it happens this year.
Oh, my God. But that'd be like a fucking COVID nightmare, though. Oof.
But
I know.
But...
I know. I missed a year in like a long time too.
This.
Ugh. Gonna shoot ourselves now. Okay, so.
Well, now I'm sad.
There's a subculture. Permanent haunted attractions that are open year-round and of a few that are open during special occasions, such as haunt conventions or spring break, also called scream break. Ooh, that.
Gosh, we also were supposed to go to some haunt conventions this year.
Oh, we had plans. Yeah.
But COVID.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Scarier than any of these fucking attractions right now. But some attractions are run by charities and fundraisers, while many are for profit, obviously, because I imagine these are very expensive to pull off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Many of the charity haunts are run as such because they're extreme haunts. And we'll get into that a little bit later, because that's the face slapping I would imagine. Yeah.
They can't charge money.
Yeah. Ooh. Ee. Okay. Well, damn. One of the first recorded purpose-built haunted attractions was the Orton and Spooner Ghost House. That's a cool sounding one, which opened in 1915 in Liphook, England. Oh, the UK got a jump on us on that shit.
Yeah, they did. But then they were just like, okay, you guys can just roll with this.
I think it's just like, well, you guys took it to a whole different level. Okay, well, we're just going to kick back.
You guys can, we'll let you guys have this.
Yeah, any of our UK listeners, by any means, because we get them. If you want to, you know, hit us up on social media and let us know what UK haunts are like, I'd definitely appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, we got like a subsection. I forget. Like, there's like three cities in the UK that listen to us for some reason. That's I don't know. I don't know how they found us. but we love you. This attraction mostly closely resembles a carnival fun house powered by steam.
Fun.
Because 1915, right? And surprisingly, this house still exists in the Hollycombe Steam Collection. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, in Liphook, England, you can still go and look at all of these like super, super old like carnival rides that are all steam powered.
I've always wanted to go to the UK, but I mean, tickets are probably pretty cheap right now.
COVID.
Yeah. I imagine it's not open, though.
No.
Ugh. Just stand outside the gate. Like, come on! Let me in! I am an American!
That doesn't count for anything.
I know.
In fact, it counts for less.
Like, especially right now. And they're probably just like, he's probably been around more infected people than we have, so...
Definitely not.
I'm from Los Angeles. Oh, definitely. Okay.
Yeah.
But Halloween-themed haunted houses in America seem to begin emerging during the Great Depression. About the same time as Trick-or-Treat. So, wow. Okay. Pretty dark time for America. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they were just like, let's just scare the shit out of everyone to make them feel better.
It's like, damn, these kids, we can't feed them. Like, hey, let's just have the neighborhood do it. So during the night...
Give them candy.
Give them candy. They'll be fine. they're all fucking sugared out now.
Great.
But during the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, it was common for magicians to incorporate supernatural themes into their stage performances, evolving into the tradition of the traveling ghost show or spook show, incorporating comedy, displays of mentalism, and theatrical special effects.
I love this.
Yeah, this is cool. During the 50s, these specialized shows were often performed as pre-show entertainment before screenings of popular horror movies. Elvira era, I would imagine.
Probably.
Yeah, that makes sense. We covered actually that a little bit. What was that in? I can't remember. Fucking leaving my mind right now. Okay.
Brain is empty.
Yeah. You know, definitely TV. I get it. You know, I want to watch some stuff too. And then, of course, Disney made this bitch commercial as it always fucking does. Oy. But this actually is my favorite ride. So the Haunted Mansion opened in Disneyland in 1969 to immediate success. A single day record of 82,516 guests was established soon after it opened. Damn.
I can't even imagine that, considering that it breaks down about every 15 seconds now.
Especially in, like, 1969?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, back then it was, like, probably super fast running, and they're just like, go, go, go!
Oh, yeah, they're like,
all cramming them in there. Okay, so the Haunted Mansion is my second favorite ride at Disney.
Pirates is your first one.
Pirates is my first one. That's right. Actually, so that whole section of Disneyland, I could just spend all day there because it's my favorite part.
I would actually say Haunted Mansion would be tied with Space Mountain as my favorite. I like Space Mountain.
You would.
I don't know how it holds up. I haven't been in Disneyland since 2011, so.
I had to look at the clock on my computer and be like, what year is
it? We are never going to forget this year. Oh, fuck. Almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
It's been a while. You need to go back to Disneyland, my friend.
I mean,
it's when probably it opens.
Yeah, when it opens. Oh, that's going to be hell. That, with people all there, it's season pass time. Oh, that's going to be a bum rush of people right there.
Eh, yeah. I have a pass, so I'm cool.
2022, that's when I'll do it. So, evangelical Christians became early adopters of alternative Halloween attractions.
Fuck you guys.
Oh, I hate this fucking piece of shit here. Jerry Falwell, dumbest motherfucker in the history of, I don't know, politics. He's a piece of shit.
Ooh. I have no idea who this is.
He's, you want to know why politics are so bad right now? Religion and politics taking over the Republican Party, anti-abortion. Him? Oh, he's the fucking guy.
Okay.
Ugh, he reading his name triggers me.
Clearly.
Oh, and Liberty University, also one of the dumbest, stupidest institutions, I don't know, known ever.
I had no idea this would get your reaction.
No, dude, they're bad.
Oh, that's funny.
They're so bad. Introduced one of the first hell houses. Are you kidding me? Ah, 1972. I have to thank this fucker for that. These hell houses showing sins of what the truly scary part of Halloween is. Okay.
We're going to talk a little bit about it later.
Okay, well. Fuck Jerry Falwell. So, in 1973, Knott's Berry Farm began hosting its own Halloween night attraction. Knott's Scary Farm, which is the opposite of Jerry Falwell. It's pretty cool. Which soon became the gold standard for Halloween events.
You know, Knott's Berry Farm is like down the street from my apartment.
Yeah, and good old, fuck, what's it called? Buena Park?
Yeah. And I haven't been, and I feel like I should.
You've never been?
No.
That was my go-to as a kid.
It was a lot of people's go-to, but I feel like because, like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I just feel like I have, like, bougie taste now.
It's definitely cheaper than Universal.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, is, like, the bar is a little bit higher, I think, for me for a lot of those experiences. So now I'm just like, I need to be scared.
Well, the thing is, it trades the production value for gruesomeness. Like, they go hard in, like, the gore and, like, the like,
I like that
kind
though.
Of fringe kind of stuff. So you actually might like it a little more.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I'll talk about this later.
Okay.
But there's a reason why I totally agree with you, because we'll talk about it later.
All right. Bookmark. Okay, so, haunted houses quickly spread across the country via charity fundraisers conducted by the United States Junior Chamber, the JCs, and others. The JCs encourage its membership to construct haunted houses in abandoned buildings or fields as charity fundraising events, and the organization became known for these houses throughout America. I've always wanted to go to the ones in abandoned buildings and shit.
Yeah.
I know, but it's like,
sounds sketch.
Oh, definitely sounds sketch, yeah. But I mean, like,
that's
it'd be
part
cool.
of it.
But yeah, exactly. You get the aesthetics.
Yeah.
But the March of Dimes copyrighted a mini haunted house for the March of Dimes.
That is way too long. Yeah. As someone who works in marketing, I'm like, that's a shitty.
The good old MHHFTMOD.
The
gonna go to the Mufti today.
It is that time of year.
In 1976, of course, Anne began fundraising through their local chapters by conducting haunted houses soon after. Although they apparently quit supporting this type of event nationally sometime in the 1980s, some MOD haunted houses have persisted until today. Wonder why that is. Huh. Yeah, I'll blame that on Reagan too. All right.
Just blame Reagan.
Or Jerry Falwell, fucking.
Yeah, whatever, just throw him in the mix, it's fine.
The beginning of the end for the charity haunts can be traced to a singular event. The haunted castle at Six Flags Great Adventure caught fire on the evening of May 11th, 1984 in Jackson Township, New Jersey. Oof, oof. Oh, this is getting dark. 18 teenagers lost their lives.
It sounded like you said 18 teenagers.
And I like, read it really fast.
I was like, eight
teenagers?
Not 18 teenagers, just eight.
That's more than double. 8 teenagers lost their lives in the fire. There were criminal charges filed, civil lawsuits, numerous investigations, and the inevitable result that fire safety laws, building codes, and inspections were tightened up considerably nationwide.
I mean,
which didn't help for some events after, too, but eek.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, that makes total sense, right?
Yeah, no, that seems like the kind of catalyst. I mean, it's like, these are our youths.
The youths.
For this satanic fucking institution.
The youths of America.
The youths of America. The net effect was to make charity attractions less economically viable than they were before. Better construction materials were required, and fire safety equipment was required, making a temporary venue too expensive for many charities to afford. As a result, the larger, better-funded for-profit operators moved in as the charities moved out. Ooh, capitalism!
I was gonna say, this is, like, capitalism to it, like, which sucks, but, I mean, also, like, it's like, you gotta make sure people don't die.
Yeah, that's, I am for people not dying at these events. Yeah. Pro no death.
Thank you. That's a very brave stance.
Pro life. professional haunted house. That's why we're pro no death. professional haunted houses began to show up at the United States about the same time as the nonprofits. However, subsequent to the tragic fire outlined above, many existing haunted attractions were shut down as politicians and regulators follow enacted stronger safety codes. Volunteer nonprofit organizations struggled to compete against the new for-profit competition under the tougher rules. Oh, so only the rich can play. Gotcha. Okay.
Only the rich for-profit.
Yep.
Ones can play. The poor, the poor ones who just want to raise money for their community or whatever, they're fucked.
Oh. It's like, what do you? This is the best wood we could afford. Gosh. Why are you putting lacquer all over it so it can shine? Do you have to juggle with the flaming chainsaws next to it?
That's a Simpsons episode. Yeah. That's a Simpsons episode.
So many, of course, were forced out of business either from the added competition or the inability to fund safety requirements. Ultimately, the little JCs got pushed out because their haunted houses were fairly basic. In professional haunted houses, they had them dollars.
Yeah.
They had them fucking dollar bills, y'all. Jesus. Oh, poor, boy.
Poor JC.
This is... I did not expect much of a downer on this. Okay, so currently...
But you expected the history of haunted houses to be an uplifting one?
It uplifts me when I go. This is going to be so cool. Jerry Falwell and Liberty University.
Capitalism.
Now I know what it's like when you read some of my episodes.
Got him.
Damn. All right, so currently in the United States alone, there are over 4,000 October seasonal haunted houses in the U.S. every year and 300 theme parks that operate horror-themed events.
Yay.
That is some options right there. Hell yes.
You got some choices, for sure.
Mm-hmm. In order to increase off-season attendance, theme parks entered the business seriously in the late 80s and early 90s. I remember these commercials. Six Flags launched Fright Fest in 1986 to 1989, and I don't remember those ones, obviously. And Universal Studios began Halloween Horror Nights in 1991.
Did you send me that YouTube video about the history?
I believe so.
Okay,
yes.
It's so cool.
Right?
This has kind of put me in, like, a YouTube rabbit hole of, like, the history of certain events like this. I didn't rewatch the Halloween Horror Nights one, but if you are just interested in this as I am, anyone who's listening, I highly recommend... Oh, gosh, I don't remember who did it.
But
basically, it's this guy who just, like, reviews rides at rides and, like, history of theme park events and stuff. He did an entire history of Halloween Horror Nights, and it was really, really, really cool. Super in-depth, and yeah. I learned a shit ton.
No, he was, like... He had, like, footage from the early commercials and each year's, like, theme monsters.
And then I learned that there's, like, an actual storyline for the Florida one.
Yeah, that's the thing. When me and Sydney were talking about it, she's from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So she was just like, you guys don't remember this and this and this? I'm like, no, we just got, like, the movie shit.
Yeah, we just got... Yeah. We just got movie characters.
We didn't have, like, that fucking...
It also didn't start in L.A. until, like, the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't start until significantly later.
Oh, yeah.
So I
remember those commercials, like, finally, Halloween Horror Nights is here. I'm like, finally what?
Bitch, where?
Yeah. Oh, and Knott's Berry Farm launched their Not Scary Farm in 1973. Given America's obsession with Halloween as a cultural event surging in the late 90s, Knott's saw their attraction finally take off.
Yeah.
Oof. And that's, I used to go to that a lot when I was, like, a lot.
That's cool.
Like, a lot.
Well, yeah, that's because you're, like, right here. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. It was ease of access.
Yep, good old SoCal boy. Yep.
So, you know, let's talk haunts, yeah?
Yeah.
So, there are a ton of types of haunts to go over, and this is a basic overview. For the purpose of this movie, we're going to be talking about haunted experiences and extreme haunts.
Cool. Dun, dun, dun. Oh my god. I'm willing to learn right now.
Yeah.
This cannot be worse than...
than the movie?
Than Liberty University, but yeah, I guess...
So, you have your prototypical haunted house, mansion, castle. The most famous of this, of course, would be the Haunted Mansion ride at Disneyland right here in Anaheim. And then from there, there's haunted trails, haunted forests, which are, as the name suggests, mainly outside. You don't go into anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect example of this would be the Haunted Trails event in San Diego, which is one of my favorites, especially when I was growing up, because you didn't have to be, you had to be, like, there was, the minimum age requirement was 13, so as a high schooler, all mm-hmm. the high schoolers went.
No, I remember you telling me this kind of stuff at Link U.
Yeah.
Because I was like, San Diego has all that shit? What?
Yeah, San Diego has a very... Well, because the weather's nice all year round. Mm-hmm. So even during, like, October and stuff, like, you can do a lot of, like, outdoorsy type stuff.
Yeah.
Haunted hay rides are next. San Diego also has one of those. L.A. has a particularly well-done and well-known haunted hayride that I would love to go to.
Oh, we should do it.
We should.
Hell yes.
Every year, whenever it rolls around, like, I just... I feel like we just have to, like, stack our calendar.
I know.
Because it's such a limited time frame, right?
Well, that, it's L.A., so there are people that, like, are already, like, on the list.
Yeah,
and that's they're just true. Like, oh, cool, I'm doing my IG video over here because I'm an influencer. I'm like, fuck, I don't want to see you selfie while I'm doing this shit.
But haunted hayrides also, like, that's, I mean, we see this in Howl's October Belt. Mm-hmm. You know, that's also where you get, like, the paintballing experiences and all that stuff. These feel remarkably tame because you're just sitting in a truck.
Yeah, like, the experience is being guided for you.
Well, you're driving, but, like, people are going to run at the car or at the truck or whatever, but, like, it's not like you're safe. Your mm-hmm. ass is on a piece of or yeah. on a bale of hay. Like,
it's
you're
not
fine.
Up to you to progress.
Yeah.
That's the part that makes the other things scary for me. It's like, oh cool, now I have to turn and keep going forward because I'm in the middle of the maze now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Haunted ships are rare but also exist. Queen Mary's Dark Harbor in Long Beach is a great example of a haunt on a ship, and it's also scary as fuck. I went to this not last year but the year before, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Super scary, awesome fun. And this is what I wanted to circle back to. This is where the bookmark was. This was scarier to me than Universal Studios the year that I went
mm-hmm.
because it was so, like, it was, like, a little bit more raw. Like, it was, like, underproduced yeah. in the way that, like, I was just horrified.
Mm-hmm.
Super fun. Like, the mazes are, like, on the Queen Mary, which is an actual, like, haunted ship.
Oh, yeah.
People
had to be having stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just, like, one of, like, it was in completely dark. And it was amazing. Highly recommend it.
If you want to actually hear more about the Queen Mary ghost kind of experience, there's a podcast I listen to called Keep It Weird.
Okay.
And I did a really good episode on it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember if it was one of their finales or one of the last. Either way, yeah, check them out. They're on Instagram. But yeah, they go deep. They actually stayed overnight.
Ooh.
Yeah, they did like a whole thing. It was
that's
really cool.
Awesome. Yeah. But yeah, no, I love the Queen Mary. And I think that whole experience was just really fun. And then it also, like, around the other mazes and stuff, it's just, I don't know, it had this, like, kind of creepy, like, definitely something that was, like, built overnight and mm-hmm. it could be destroyed the next day if it
oh, you probably love nuts.
Well, I think it's also because basically it was in, like, the parking lot of Queen Mary. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was very, like, it had that vibe to it where I was just like, I could definitely, Simpsons, like, I'm in danger.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I felt the whole time. And then you have your Scream Parks, your Not Scary Farm, Hollywood Horror Nights, etc. That's pretty much it. Enough said. Mm-hmm. Super fun. I've been to those. You've been to those.
They're on our Instagram.
We're
all over there.
Yeah, such a delight. Can't wait for that to be a thing again.
Oh my god.
And then you have a dark maze or a pitch black maze. It's a haunted attraction that consists of just being in total darkness. They have twists, turns, dead ends. Some may feature actors, air cannons, loud sounds, sprays of water, moving walls, floors, hanging props, flashing lights, and more. It's, the whole gist is just to disorient.
Hmm.
Which, eesh.
Yeah.
Hell
you
houses.
You can get that way, yeah. Huh? You can get that way, yeah.
Hell houses. We got there.
Oh, cool.
Are haunted attractions typically run by Christian churches or parachurch groups. These depict sin, the torments of the damned in hell, and usually conclude with a depiction of heaven.
Hmm.
The exhibits at a hell house often have controversial tones, focusing on issues of the concern to Christians in the United States. Hell houses frequently feature exhibits depicting sin and its consequences. Common examples include abortion, suicide, use of alcoholic beverages and recreational drugs, adultery, occultism, and satanic ritual abuse.
Hmm. Some of these sound fun, though.
They do.
Yeah.
I agree.
I was like, well, I imagine teen boys would love the adultery and the drugs one.
Yeah.
Occultism.
There was a Law & Order SVU episode that it featured a hell house, and that's all I could think of as I was writing this. I was just like, oh my gosh.
Dude.
But yeah.
Like, yes, we're doing it to learn about God there, and they're like, oh my God, do you see those titties?
Exactly. Like, I'm just like, what's the point here?
Yeah.
But no, I'm just like, the drinking and the drugs and the occultism and mm-hmm. the Satanism. I'm like, this sounds just like a good time.
Yeah. Sure, abortion and suicide are controversial, but that's like a little small price to pay to get to the good stuff.
Right. Like, abortion's none of your business. Suicide is a public health crisis. Yeah. Like, I don't understand here.
I'm learning so much in here.
I'm learning. So, yeah, and then, you know, fuck that guy that Anthony was talking about.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that's the Hill House. And then a cornfield maze is another one. I got lost in one of these when I was 10.
Yeah, remember you told me about that one, too. That sounded scary as fuck.
No, thanks. And there weren't even scare actors in that one. It was just a big old corn maze, and it was terrifying.
Was that Northern California?
It was in Central Valley.
Central Valley. Of course there's no actors in there.
that we knew of.
I was like, wow, those scare actors are very scary. Oh, those are vagrants. You need to get out.
Exactly.
He said his name was Stabby Joe. No, he really calls himself that.
That's actually Stabby Joe. never mind. So one of the past times I went home before all of this happened, I found the maze online with my mom, and I got her side of the story, and I recorded it, and I don't know if I ever showed it. I don't think I showed it to you. But I'll show it to you when we're not recording. But basically, we were both drinking, like. We were, like, both, like, a bottle of wine in, and, like, she was just like, and then this happened, and then you weren't coming out, and then I was just like, where the fuck are my kids?
Oh, no. Yeah. You guys are having, like, a little Stephen King adventure out there.
Yeah. Me and my twin are just like, how the fuck do we get out of here?
Oh, boy, this is scary. Okay, this is really scary.
Yeah. Oh. And then my mom and my dad are waiting at the end just like, okay, sun's going down. Where the fuck are my kids?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, that's fun. Oh, boy. And then home haunts are exactly what they sound like. I built and worked at one as a teenager growing up until I was a sophomore in college.
Really? What was the building process like?
I would go, well, when I was in college, I would take the train back, like, pretty much any weekend that I could, because this was before I had a car and a mm-hmm. license. But basically, we would just, like, be painting stuff. We'd be, because this was, like, this was basically family friends, like, basically, like, my uncle. He would build, like, his entire driveway and, like, the front yard. We would put up, like, walls, and, like, it would be, like, an actual maze.
Yeah.
And like the each year we would have like a theme, so we had like a carnival theme one year, we had a Disney theme one year. Okay. Like we would do all these themes, but it was very, very intense and it took a really, really long time. We started building in like September.
Huh.
Late August. even.
Like, really getting the pre-production done, huh?
Yeah. But basically, I mean, just, like, any set design. Like, but, yeah, we would, like, sketch everything out, and, like, we would be like, okay, this is what it's going to look like, and then...
It just sounds creative and fun.
It was super creative, yeah. And it was super fun, and then when Halloween would roll around, like, we would set everything up, and, mm-hmm. like, you know, like... final touches, and then we would all have like our characters, and we would be someone, and we would be scare actors for the night.
Nice.
And it was always so much fun, and like it was just like, and we would always have to like block the driveway because we would have kids run out into the street, and Damn. So we would always have to like, yeah, it would, like, and like we would build stuff. Like one year we built like a fake like electric chair, and mm-hmm. we would have someone sit in it, and like we had something that would cover their face, and like, and it would, they would sit really really still, and anytime someone would walk by they would like jolt and
oh
stuff.
My god, that's cool.
Like all this kind of stuff, like it was very creative, and it was like, it's, it was one of my favorite things growing up. I just kind of like, me and yeah, I just kind of fell off of it.
I feel like there's like an Amblin movie in there somewhere. Oh, and it's turning real. What's going on?
But it was like kind of pseudo like our Halloween party. Like we would buy like a shit ton of lumpia, and like that, and like, you know, there would be like food, and we'd barbecue, and like all this food, and we'd like take turns and like just hang out in the house sometimes.
Oh, this is hitting the nostalgia bone. I can tell right
oh,
now.
Oh, it was so fun, dude. Like every year, like literally from like, I think I want to say from like 14 to like. So for like 6 years straight, yeah.
Damn,
this
nice.
Is like the routine. Yeah. Okay. And then once I turned like, once I could basically drink legally, I was just like, I would like my Halloween back, please. And so I kind of stopped doing it, but yeah, it was super super fun. But yeah, home haunts, exactly what they sound like. Most of these are done, and that, you know, exactly what I just described.
Exactly the whole process.
So very
not
fun.
Regulation.
Not regulation. And every year we had someone ask us like, do you need a permit to do this? And we were just like, sure.
You might need one.
Maybe.
You might need one.
And we always accepted donations at the end. Because, it's
expensive.
It's expensive. Because, mm-hmm. like, it would always be, like, you know, built from out of pocket. But, I mean, usually we'd, like, repurpose stuff. We built, like, a huge fucking spider. Oh, you would have loved this.
Ooh.
One year we had, like, a spider that was big enough that went over the house. So its legs would come down.
Damn.
And it was a huge, like,
oh,
a,
fuck that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huge spider. So,
well, I would not love that. No, let's.
My dad also has arachnophobia, so like he would like he it was his idea. Like,
okay, that's probably pretty cool then, because he's like, yes, that's what scares me right there. Cool,
let's do it. But anyway, going on from that, haunted experiences. This is where like this is kind of based off of what the movie is based mm-hmm. off of. It's one of the new up and coming experiences, and it really only hit the scene in the last 10 years or so. It's frequently compared to alternate reality games. They're totally immersive and take most rules off the table, but still maintain a safe experience, unlike extreme haunts, which we'll get into in a minute. Haunted experiences combine the concept of a haunted house with something like a scavenger hunt. They begin in one place and end in another, usually at the haunted house itself.
That's so fun.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Examples of haunted experiences is Nyctophobia in New York City and Blackout in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York City as well. Blackout has its own documentary, and there's so much content out there without actually revealing what goes on behind closed doors, and it's driving me nuts because I'm obsessed. I really want to do Blackout. Let's see. The whole deal with these sorts of events is that you can be touched and manhandled, and you're given a safe word if things get too intense.
Damn.
Yeah. This is straight from Blackout's website. You must be over 18. You must walk through alone. Please be aware you will encounter fog, strobe lights, loud sounds, complete darkness, crawling, kneeling, stairs, mild restraints, water, sexual and violent situations, aggressive physical contact. You also have to sign a waiver.
Jesus. All right, well, that sounds fun.
I was just like, okay, I'll do that. what's so cool about haunted experiences is most of these people view it as performance art more mm-hmm. than haunts.
That makes sense.
So I think that's
kind of telling
cool.
a narrative there, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's like a story behind it. And mm-hmm. so Blackout is something that I'm very, very interested in. And if it comes back to LA this year, I would love to do it. They have a very unique business model, and they acknowledge that it doesn't, they never make money off of it. Like tickets are like $45, but they don't make money off of it because their business model is not set up for it.
Yeah.
They send people through one at a time. Like that in it of itself.
That is weird.
Well, that's the whole shtick. I know, but that's have to go through alone.
Oh man.
You can't go through with anyone else. Like they could technically make more money. They would be making so much money if they let people go through in groups, but it completely
negates the experience.
Yeah, it completely defeats the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So it like usually most years they just like barely break even.
Okay, well shit. That sounds fun though.
But they've been doing it for like 10 years.
Oh, I gotta learn more about that one. That sounds cool.
Totally look it up. There's like a 1 hour long interview with one of the founders.
Okay.
Really cool. Cool shit. I was watching it last night. and then there are extreme haunts. The most controversial example of this is the McCamey Manor in San Diego. There's also one in Tennessee and I think Atlanta.
Hmm.
There's no cost for entrance, just a donation of pet food to a local animal shelter. You sign a waiver and are essentially tortured for up to 8 hours. The worst part, once you're in, you're in. There is no safe word. That is until 2017, there wasn't. Yeah. In the waiver, you consent, quote unquote, to anything from getting your teeth pulled out to getting a tattoo.
Fuck that.
Yeah, they like basically McCamey Manor is like the worst of the worst. A lot of people don't even consider them to be part of the haunt scene because they're just literally, it's not really an art form as much as it is like, let's see how much shit we can torture you with in the span of however long you're in there.
Jeez, getting a tattoo is a bit much.
I don't think they actually have ever tattooed people. I think the waiver is just part of getting into people's heads. Because I don't think anyone has ever come out of it with a tattoo.
Okay, that's good.
Or has gotten, like, their teeth pulled out. However, they have, like, they force you to eat stuff. They, like...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
It's gross. I was going to have you watch a video, but it's probably going to be scary. But yeah. Like,
I'll watch it later.
You
just should. Link it to me.
If you should watch like their promo videos. They're okay. Freaky. Like, and theirs is like way more intense. But yeah, those are like extreme haunts. Other examples would also include Blackout, Heretic, Hurting, Shock Theater, and Faceless Ventures. Hurting is here in LA, mm-hmm. and I've heard stuff about them. They're like... more like a movie, like basically, I don't know. I did some research on them. I don't know how theirs are kind of like, but Blackout seems like the most legit, and I really, really want to do it. So.
Okay, all right, we'll keep that in mind.
That's my goal for 2020. Should Halloween happen?
Oh God, should Halloween happen? I want my Halloween. All right, so, but hey, now that we actually got through this very awesome, actually deep dive into haunts, which I learned a lot. Wow.
Yay.
That's very cool.
You learned stuff. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was only got mad once. Twice. Twice.
Couple
twice.
Times.
Capitalism.
dead but, children.
Dead children, of course. But of course, we got to learn a little about the movie we're talking about here. So here's a quick summation of the production and release of The House is October Built.
That's the name of the movie.
Yep. Okay, so again, there wasn't a whole lot about it, but let's get into seed. So this is actually the directorial debut of Bobby Rowe, who also starred in the movie, of course, and is produced by Zach Andrews, who also starred, and Steven Schneider, again, who's chilling behind the scenes, whose hits include Paranormal Activity, Insidious, The Devil Inside, and M. Night Shyamalan, The Visit, Split, and Glass. Filming took place on location across Texas at various actual haunts, as well as New Orleans. Supplementary shooting took place in, of course, Los Angeles. Rowe would later include a list of America's Scariest Haunted Houses in the marketing for the film. It obtained a limited release through Image Entertainment, but not much is known about it other than that. The film hit VOD in 2015, and there became a bit of a found footage... Oh, and from there, of course, it became a bit of a found footage fan favorite. Now, I do have a couple other notes.
Please.
On how this actually went down. So, the movie we saw is not the first version of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, this was funded by, I believe it was Mr. Andrews, and Steven Schneider wasn't there yet. But the producers essentially funded it by maxing out their credit cards.
Oh, no way.
But to get it done, they shot it in standard definition.
Oh.
That it played at a festival. I can't remember the name of the festival. But the reception was so good at that festival that Mr. Paranormal Activity here gave him a call and was like, I want to release your movie. The only issue is... it's got to be in HD at least. Otherwise, it's not going to work for any theaters. So they reshot the movie completely with the same actors, and they use some of the... So that's why when it cuts away, those interviews in standard definition.
Oh!
Yeah.
That makes so much more sense.
That's from the first version of the movie.
Oh my... And of course they could keep it in, because then it just added to, like, the effect of the movie.
Mm-hmm. So then they added more of a story too with the like see the doll
first
character.
Version.
Me too. I was looking for it online all fucking night yesterday. Ugh, I couldn't find it. But yeah. So the first version was very well released, and this was like right around the prime of Paranormal Activity. The only issue is they didn't get done with it for a couple of years.
Mr. Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. Well, but by the time that it was ready to go, I believe it was Universal or somebody who agreed to it before dropped it. They're like, you know what? The market's pretty saturated. We're not going to blah, 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 blah. So then they had to figure out how to, like... I mean, they got it budgeted and stuff, but they had to actually figure out how to get it released.
Yeah, well, so, yeah. It didn't.
Yeah, exactly. They did, like, a limited run, but the run, I guess, was so well-received that people were like, fuck yeah, you need to see this more. And then, you know, Netflix, whoever it was, bought the rights, and it went off from there.
Now it's just a hot potato between streaming services.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but they were really set to go huge, and then they took too long to shoot the revised version of the movie because they cheaped out and got standard definition. That's it. That's all that changed.
That sucks.
Yeah, kind of fucked them up. And they would have released right at the prime of Paranormal Activity, but it didn't happen. Mm-hmm.
They could, like, literally, they could have had it all. They did not have dumb luck on their side.
No, they seriously won. They're like, hey, should we do a standard or high def? Ah, nobody cares about high def. Done.
Their
sealed
fate
the fate
sealed.
Of their movie right there.
That sucks.
Yeah, so that's what happened with this one, of course. But I mean, the producers still helped them get it made and distributed. So,
that's good.
And that's why we have the version we have now, which apparently is better acted. From what I've been researching.
Okay.
So this version is
well,
better
yeah,
acted.
Yeah, because it's like of all second take.
Yeah, it's all revised. And I think, but I feel like the original, it was scarier. I think people were a little more scared from the original.
I bet. I mean, probably
it's a
also.
More raw.
Well, if it's all in standard definition, it would like, that would make sense, right?
Looks kind of grimy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah no, I think so. But yeah, there you go. That's my from my own research independence.
Thank goodness, because like literally, I was looking online and I was just like I literally was searching like the houses October built production question mark. Like literally nothing. I was just like, give me something.
No, it was like yeah, just the one video that I found that this guy went fucking hard. I don't know if he like knew the producers or whatever the fuck happened, but like the dude like. He had footage from, like, the freaking premieres and all this shit. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, even, like, you know, like, normally how, like, IMDb, like, the trivia will have, like, production stuff in there. Like, a good jumping off point. Nothing. Oh. It had, like, two things. And I was like, this is bullshit.
IMDb. Well, let's go fill it out.
I know. We'll write our...
We'll write our own. We'll do our own, damn it.
No, we have to save that for the website.
All right.
Okay.
Let's see how it was received, though, by people.
Much of the film's praise centered upon its cast and characters, and Dread Central wrote that, quote, the film's characters are ridiculously natural, and their relationships and reactions are both fun and frightening, unquote. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely people.
Yeah. They have a chemistry. They do.
Well, I mean, but also, like, it's like, are you, it's hard when, like, are you acting or are you just being yourself?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Bloody Disgusting editor-in-chief John Squires wrote that, quote, every once in a while, an exceptional found footage movie comes along that reminds us that the cinematic gimmick can really be effective when properly executed. And The Houses October Built is that movie, unquote.
Interesting. I mean, I feel like it could only be found footage. This
Absolutely,
movie. This would not work any other way, really.
And then the Los Angeles Times said, quote, The Houses October Built proves one of the more successful attempts at the found footage horror flick, unquote.
I wonder if this is during the time when they're like, we've had too many. This one's okay. So you know what? It's brilliant.
I think it's probably during, because like, I'm trying to think of like a food analogy. Like, this is just like, just a burger. Like, this is, you know, this is like, this is just. Whatever, like it's not like my mind is not blown, but also I'm not disappointed, you know?
Yeah, no, like if I, you know, I wouldn't say it's the combo, but it's like if you just want the sandwich,
exactly.
This is a good sandwich,
exactly. Yeah, sure. Okay, Letterboxd.
Yeah,
okay, so sadly, this bad boy has 2.5 stars out of 4,000 reviews on Letterboxd, which makes sense.
Sneak preview, huh?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, this just gave it away, but yeah, that's fine. Yeah, there you go. Sydney with 3 stars says, if the ending had involved the haunted house workers just playing an elaborate prank, I think it would have been better. But I feel like I was still creeped out by the film, unquote. It's the, yeah. I think I'm still creeped out. Ian West with 2.5 stars. Quote, dig the concept, a bunch of the haunts and haunters, but the novelty of the first time I watched this, riding high after several haunts, has indeed faded a bit. I am a found footage fan, and Houses October Built has a few charms. How this beat the late 2010s craze of a haunt as a setting by a few years to it, besides the usual found footage tropes that, at the time of its release, was a super saturated subgenre on its last legs, unquote.
Oh, wow. Pretty okay.
I mean, yeah. Like after this, I was just like, yeah.
You got it, Ian West. You kind of nailed it.
After that, I was just like, okay, I just need a funny one, and then we can throw it away. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to Leticia Fernandez with 4 stars. Love movies about dumb people.
Yeah. Some of the decisions in this movie were pretty goddamn dumb. Like,
most found footage movies are movies about dumb people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just that it's just white people making stupid decisions.
Yeah, there were some where I'm just like, dude, what are you doing?
Like, the main character, I was just like, you're fucking dumb. Anyway, let's talk about this movie.
Sure. All right. See, so we're going to do a nice little play-by-play for you guys. Woo! Yeah. Because I don't know how many people have actually seen this movie, but it doesn't
not
seem
many.
Like a very popular one. Yeah. I'd be shooting ourselves in the foot kicking off June, but happy birthday. But let's get into a good old play-by-play like we've done in the past. So,
okay. Last year's, my first pick was American Mary, so...
Right? Not a lot of people saw that one either, but people liked that episode.
Oh,
yeah, that one got a lot of listens, actually.
Oh, that's good.
I think it's because of Canadians, though. Yeah.
This is not Canadian.
No, I know. Again, might be a little tougher.
Again, last year, my picks were like Silence of the Lambs, Blair Witch Project.
Oh, my God. That was a good month for us.
Zombie Island.
That was a really good month for us.
Yeah, it's because I picked all of my favorite movies, and since I just blew all my favorite movies... Like,
now it's your fringe movies.
Now it's
your
like
fringe movies are coming this month.
But yeah, now it's all like my weird ones where I'm just like,
no, let's get off the wall. That's the good. I'm good with that. We just got done with monsters.
I know, that's true. Anyway, let's do a play by play. If you haven't seen this movie and you like found footage. And it's a hungover movie.
Absolutely.
This is a hangover
100%.
Movie.
Yes.
This is 10 out of 10 a hangover movie, for sure.
You're like curled on the bed. It's fucking dark.
It's dark.
You put the blackout curtains on.
Yeah, you're just like, what should I watch? And you like found footage. This is a great one.
You're eating like shitty food just to combat. You got an ibuprofen next to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it.
You're like chugging water like a monster. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're like fresh off a workout and like, you're like being fucking hot shit. Don't watch the movie. You're gonna be like,
see,
too amped.
Me, when I watched this movie, I was curled up in bed, cuddling my pillows, and I was stoned out of my mind after just eating a burrito. So
ooh, that sounds like such a like a good way to watch the film.
However, the caveat to that is I fell asleep during the last 15 minutes because I was so comfortable and I was super high and
oh
I was just
God.
Like, good night. But then, like, their screaming woke me up. I was just like, shut up.
But, if you want to watch it, definitely do the Alex Webster special right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's a good way to do it.
That was, oh, God, I was so comfortable because, like, my window was open, so I got some, like, nice breeze. Oh,
I think I would have enjoyed this more if I was high, too. But I was stone sober in the middle on my new fucking couch just looking at it.
Oh, you got a new couch?
It's Sydney's couch. She let us essentially have it for like no money.
That's nice of her.
Yeah. No, it's
well,
nice.
Well, now you have a couch.
Yeah.
Not just like cushions on the floor.
Yeah. We had a mattress too. The mattress is still there. It's a couch mattress combo. It's pretty cool.
I'm not going to say anything.
4 dudes living in Los Angeles, you know? We don't need much. Anyways, this plot, huh? So the film opens to a dazed and bloodied Brandy being put in a truck and driven off. Days earlier, a group of friends from Ohio, Brandy, her boyfriend Zach, cameraman Jeff, Bobby, and Mikey, decide to take a trip to visit some of America's scariest haunted house attractions in the days leading up to Halloween.
Woo.
Now, caveat here, I fucking hate when they show the ending of the movies, these kind of movies. I don't like that.
You don't?
I like it when it's like a Tarantino movie or like something like a little more artsy when they can do it well. But it's just like, here's like a snippet. Cool. Because like when it's getting towards the end, I'm thinking like, but I'm still thinking like, okay, I know we're going to get there. So can we just speed up?
Can we just get there
until
already?
I get to like that point? Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. I thought that was stupid also. So I was just like, okay. Thank you. Well, now we know how this is going to end up, won't we?
Yeah.
Honestly, I did forget about it because it's like literally like 2 seconds. Like it's just like, what is she doing in the? And then it's just like, hey guys,
movie time. Yeah. I think it would have been more effective if they would have just started off like movie time, like right there.
Oh, if they just started off with the fucking movie?
Yeah. If they would have just been like, hey guys, we're all dudes.
Brandy's one of the guys.
Brandy, you're just one of us.
Even though you're fucking one of us.
Hey guys, I'm fucking Brandy, okay? She's not one of the guys.
One of the it also just has one of the stereotypical like found footage openings where it's just like this footage was found from a group of friends.
That made Steve laugh. It's like, huh? That's not true.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm like, I can't dispute that.
Of course it's not true. If it was true, it wouldn't be a movie. It would be a freaking true crime documentary.
I bet you that was more effective when it was shot in standard definition, though. Oh, that was another thing.
When it was in Blair Witch, it was very effective.
No, actually, also the in the earlier production, a lot of people didn't know it was fake.
Of course, it was shot really effectively. It was shot in standard definition.
Yeah, so and it was also early in the Paranormal Activity kind of era, so people were still like, honestly, are these real or are these fake?
The first time I saw Paranormal Activity, I was just like, this is shot very, very well. Like, I thought it was real. Of course, I was also 13, so I thought everything was real. If it was edited edited convincingly, I thought it was real.
Exactly.
Because I was 13.
But yeah, no, same shit for this one. So again, it really, within that like 3-year gap, like it really shot itself in the foot.
God damn it. You fucked it up. Anyways.
Well, also real quick, I like lose sight of who these people are.
I read their names and I'm
like white dude number one, white dude who fucked the carny. And then the two other white dudes.
Oh yeah, the chubby dude with the beard. Like
he's Bobby?
I don't know. I could not tell you.
Okay. He's either Zach is her dude.
Zach's the main guy.
Oh
god, he's such a pretend. Cameraman's Jeff. You never see him.
You
never see Jeff.
Okay. And then Mikey's just like the other dude.
They're all the blandest white men.
Yeah.
Except for the one who has a beard.
Yeah, and, he's kind of fun.
Isn't a stick-thin white man.
But he's like the douchiest one that makes the dumbest decisions, but he's fun.
He doesn't even make the dumbest decisions. Zach makes the dumbest decisions.
That's true. Zach is pretty stupid, too.
Because he's the one who's just like, you can't tell them that someone snuck into the RV and filmed this all while we slept.
Oh, my God.
You can't tell them that because then they'll want to leave.
Ugh, okay. Let's keep going.
Anyway, so they plan to record their experiences and interview actors who work at the various haunts that they visit. This leads to disturbing revelations about the establishment's operations, such as failure to perform background checks, utilizing criminals, and disturbed individuals as actors, and even using real corpses as props, and performing dangerous stunts for the sake of scares.
Okay, so actually another production note that I remember from video. A lot of it also is based off of a case in which a real-life corpse was found in one of these haunts in the South.
A real-life body was in a hell house, and that's what the Law & Order SVU episode was about.
That was also... Yep, exactly. That's the one it was based off of.
Well, you know how Law & Order SVU just, like, takes, like, news stories and is just like, let's make an episode about that.
Let's plant our characters in there.
What would Olivia Benson do?
Yeah. That's the whole writer's room. What would Olivia Benson do?
Yes.
Okay, now this is a pretty horrific rape case here. So
she would stoically continue on.
There you go. That particular case also influenced this film.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Great. Love that.
But the group begins with a well-known haunted houses at first. The group begins with well-known haunted houses first, though their main goal is to locate an extreme haunt called Blue Skeleton. Oh, fuck.
Every time we say extreme, I just want to, like, shake the table and go, extreme! Like, Alex, like Alex Jones.
Yeah. Just like... Oh, my God. Alex Jones. Or fucking conspiracy behind this shit. A mysterious group that moves to a different secret location every year and is said to employ real torture to elicit scares.
Okay. My whole thing is, like, this is what they wanted.
Yeah, that's what they were looking for.
They were looking to be tortured. Mm-hmm. They got tortured, and then they got upset that they got actually tortured.
You can see how very seriously we're taking this play-by-play, guys, because we're just giving you plot points. Yeah, this is what they asked for. It's pretty bad.
I mean, they gave it away in the beginning.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
So, of course, I can say it.
1 minute of the movie.
Also, I'm not taking this movie seriously.
No, definitely not.
Again, I was stoned and sleepy, and I was just like...
And post-burrito, which is just euphoria.
I was great. Like, literally, it was...
Burrito sounds so good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I found a place that, like, does a California burrito almost as well as San Diego does.
Really? Oh, that is enticing. Did you try the sushi burritos yet?
No.
We should try that later on. It'd be fun.
We should.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's for you helping me get my apparently too big for my car TV.
Too big for the lazy Best Buy workers. They would not do well in Hans. They're like, oh, boo. Anyways.
It closes in 15 minutes. It
closes in 15 minutes. You guys should just run through the maze.
Just run for it. Oh, it's your turn. Anyway, Zach grows agitated with what he views as pedestrian scares. The group also antagonizes haunted house staff by filming and being disruptive, but the staff's animosity grows sinister when the friends are followed by a clown and a young actress from an earlier house, despite the groups having traveled over 100 miles since.
Okay, I will give it to this film, though. Those fuckers are creepy.
Which one?
The fucking doll girl. She's clown. Creepy.
The clown also...
Ugh. Yeah, like that whole actual section where they're like, you're not supposed to go in here, and they go in there. Like, that was actually really well done.
Well, it's very disorienting.
Mm-hmm. It is, because you don't really... like.
Because you yourself don't know what's going on, and yeah. I think that's also really, really cool. Like, I mean, editing, yes, filming, and then also the set design.
I was going to say, the set design was fucking solid for that, too.
And I don't know if that was, like, the set design of, like, an actual haunt or what, but, like, it was really good. Like, I agree.
No, I really liked... these creature folks. I don't know what they are.
But are they who knows?
But I mean, also this portion of the footage does well of showcasing the experience of going through a maze.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
It's true. And I think that's one of the things that I do really, really like about this movie is is like every time I watch it, it does give me like that nostalgia of going through a haunt where I'm just like, yeah. I miss that. Like that being disoriented and like definitely feeling someone right next to me.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And being afraid. And
catching
being,
that fucking vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just being like, I gotta go.
Jeff is chased by a man in a bunny costume brandishing an axe, though the man turns out to be an actor. Zach meets other guests who inform him that they experienced Blue Skeleton and that it is in Louisiana this year. They also tell him of a bar where they can find a man who can take them there.
And so this is all happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Also at the same time, Bobby, I guess. Is Bobby the one? Is
he Bobby's the beard dude, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like trying to get with this carny.
Yeah, right? And then the one gets...
It's so weird.
He's like real like almost predatory. Like he is just like zoning in like, hey, can I just, you know, touch the makeup a little bit? Like, I'm like,
and then also like,
and she's like, I never seen a city folk here before.
And also they are sitting on complete opposite ends of the couch and he's just like reaching and I'm like, stop it. Like the whole time I was watching it and I was just like dumbfounded. I was just like, girl, you are in danger.
Yeah.
Like you're the one in danger here.
Like, see how he made that drink or make your own drink, please.
It's beer, but like, please open it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, can't the lid's pretty loose, huh? Like, the cap just comes off for these ones. I don't know what's going on.
It's a real loose twist off.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Also, weird.
All of them in the six pack.
God damn it. Is this before or after the weird strip club scene?
Oh, I think that's coming up.
Okay.
That's when they make their way.
God. Weirdest shit ever. Totally pointless. So later that night, an actor breaks into their RV and films the group while they sleep. Bobby finds the video uploaded to a haunted house forum, but Zach tells him to keep it a secret, as he does not want the rest of the group getting cold feet. A cow heart is also left inside the refrigerator, making Brandy and Bobby grow reluctant to continue.
Okay, so these are signs that you should probably just call it.
Yeah. And just be like, you know what? It is the day before Halloween. Let's just go back and, like, enjoy it somewhere I'm not here.
Yeah.
Because, like, Zach makes this dumb comment. He's like, wait, you just want to go back and, like, have Halloween at, like, a bar? You're like, yes! Yeah.
Just do that. You saw the video.
That sounds great. That sounds wonderful. I would love to do that.
When you throw cow hearts into the situation, that's when it gets a little too much from it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, poor Bobby is, like, vomiting. Okay.
Oh, that was some pretty realistic shit right there, too.
I was still eating my burrito at this point.
Oh, no!
I was just like, oh, yeah, I couldn't do it.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so bad.
I'm like, dude, you're pretty scared.
Well, no, like, he's like, I have a sympathy vomit reaction. So every time I see someone throw up, I'm like, oh, okay. Ugh. Can we just fast forward that?
You're like, no, not with the best California burrito in my hand.
It's true. Oh, God, it's so good.
Oh, my gosh. And I believe Titty Bar is right after this before they get to the other bar.
They get to the creepy bar.
Yeah.
So they go to a strip club that's pretty much empty, and it's just like pointless tits.
Pretty gratuitous.
Pointless tits.
But they're like front and center on this camera. They're
like, to the point that, like, I'm just like, okay, we get it.
I mean, not a bad looking amount of sets, but it's a lot. And poor Brandy
is fakest tits on the planet.
One was super fake. What, like, the main girl they kept zoning in on.
Well, that's why. I was just like, biggest, fakest tits on the planet. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. And then I turned into Brandy. Like, for a minute, and I was like, okay, yes, we get it. Ha 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 ha. Like, stacks, we get it. Ha ha. And then Brandy's, like, in the corner, just like,
what the fuck? Yeah. She's not having it. You guys are fucking sick. Like,
I mean, it wasn't that far, and I was just like, whatever. But no, and then, you know, like, everyone's getting motorboated. It's great. Whatever.
Those were so fake, though.
Oh, yeah. They were the biggest, fakest tits on the planet.
The ancillary tits were okay.
Yeah. But it's true.
The ancillary tits were really nice.
Yes. Everyone else's was fine. Like, I was just like, okay. And I actually made that mental note.
Yeah, same here. I was watching, like, can you just, like, pan to the left a little bit and get me those?
Like, that's great.
I don't want the fucking, like, searchlight titties just, like,
fucking. It's true.
They just looked hard. Like, they looked like...
like, you could, like, literally, like, break a window. Like,
yeah! Like, you want to get motorboated, like, this is fucking horrible!
You'll poke your eye out!
You got a bruise on your cheek, man. What's going on?
You don't want to know.
Oh, my God.
It's true. Yeah, that whole thing, it was... that was, like, the scariest part of the movie.
It was, like, 5 minutes of screen time in a 90-minute movie.
That's true.
Oh, my
God. And then, and then from there, they're like, okay, well, now that we've done that... And...
Yeah, then the next part, obviously. So, after everybody had their glitter moment, at the creepiest bar of all fucking time, the group finds themselves surrounded by actors and are confronted about their filming. So, while Brandy's in the bathroom, two male actors take the camera and film themselves cornering her. She escapes and informs the group. They confront the two men and reclaim the camera in an actually very tense, kind of very creepy, gross scene.
Yeah. Again, also totally unnecessary, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So this scene is, like, always stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it, like, first of all, they go in, it's, like, pretty silent, and then you have, like, it's kind of obvious that everyone there is scare actors.
Yeah.
But also I'm like, how did they get there? Why are they there? Why mm-hmm. this bar as opposed to any other bar?
Yeah.
And they're all just kind of creepy motherfuckers. But then you have this random couple that's, like, slow dancing on this dance floor.
Yeah, it kind of, like, makes, like, a super, like, the vibe just, ugh.
It's weird. Like, it's unsettling. Like, that's why I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, hey, we're looking for a man named Giggles, which also, never look for a man named Giggles.
No.
Ever. it's always going to lead to something bad. And then they're like, oh yeah, just sit over there and he'll be with you shortly. And it's just like, what? So they sit, and then a creepy ass clown.
Yeah.
With like a drooly gross mask, and just like, it's just like, ho 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 ho. And then they keep getting yelled at about filming, and they continue to do it.
They keep I hate what every found footage movie, they're like, oh, you can't film here. And I'm just like, you're not only are you still filming, which I get it, but you're not even doing it subtly. like, hey, here's the camera in your face again. Yeah, let's keep talking.
And they don't mind the camera that's definitely off.
Yeah, well, there's no light at all. Did you tape the light? No.
God damn it. But anyway, so Brandy goes to the bathroom, and while she's gone, then the dudes come over and are just like, hey, you know that person you're looking for? He's outside. He's ready to talk to you now. And then they're just like, fuck Brandy. I guess we're just going to go outside and leave for here. And then the dudes pick up this camera and follow her into the bathroom. And then she's just like...
What? The cornering POV is what makes it super unsettling.
It's super unsettling. So they corner her and are just very creepy and very rapey.
Mm-hmm.
And she like ducks out of there with a quickness. And then obviously like is just like tells on them. Mm-hmm. And then they get the camera back. And then that's it. Like that's basically it for the rest of them. Like that's it for like... Like, it's never mentioned again. It's just used, I guess, for tension. But, like, I was just, like, it felt kind of pointless.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it might establish that, hey, where we're in right now, it could go a little further than you think it's going to go. Yeah,
that's true.
But, I mean, we don't see these fucking actors again.
No.
Yeah. So, I don't know. If they were more involved in the later part of the movie, then I'd be like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, agreed. So, that night, the group finds their RV surrounded by dozens of actors. One of them cuts the lights to their RV, and then after getting the lights back on, they're gone. The next morning, they find instructions on how to meet with their connection to Blue Skeleton.
Mm.
So this is... creepy.
Yeah. The group arrives at the rendezvous point at Halloween on Bourbon Street in New Orleans.
Woo!
In the commotion, obviously, Jeff, our camera boy, white guy number three, is lured into an alley and finds himself cornered by the clown, the very creepy clown from the beginning of the movie. The young actress, of course, the super creepy doll. Fucking doll girl.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And the actor in the bunny suit, which is just funny. The masked group attacks and abducts him, and I believe they cut out his tongue, too. Doesn't it? Or do they?
Oh, God, no. I hope not.
Yeah, didn't they, like, pull... The fuck was that?
Oh, that was someone's phone.
Oh, okay.
I was just annoyed. No, I don't think so.
Because the guy had, like, the hedge trimmers.
I think he was just intimidating him. I think the next time we see him, he definitely has his tongue.
Oh, I don't remember seeing him again. I thought he was taken out and that all the rest of the cast is doing their thing. They all blend together to me. I don't know. It's hard for me.
I don't know.
I thought Jeff was gone and then the rest of the four remaining people we were dealing with...
I don't know.
We'll find out. Let's continue.
Okay, so the rest of the group tries to call him, but only get a message in the form of... They changed his voicemail to go to another location. They're approached by a bus and receive a text telling them to leave the RV or else Jeff will be killed. Zach complies while the rest of the group is dragged out by attackers. This part's creepy as hell.
Yeah, I was really scared for Brandy here.
Because this is where, like... Like, just a bunch of men in masks come out from the back of the RV, implying mm-hmm. that they've been there the whole time.
Yep. The friends are hooded and bound before being driven off in the bus. While the rest of the group panics, Zach insists this is part of the Blue Skeleton experience. I don't know.
Zach's
still kind of just like, hey guys, no, this is what we wanted, right? Let's keep fucking doing it. We're good. We're golden.
It's
so dumb.
It's so dumb. So the men are dragged out at one location while Brandy is driven to a second location. She's given a camera and told to film everything she sees. The group members wander through their respective room, and then Zach in a dark room is bludgeoned by an actor. The rest of the group is terrorized before being buried alive in coffins by Blue Skeleton members. And that's pretty much how the movie ends.
That's it. Yeah, it just... They all just kind of die.
Supposedly.
We hadn't seen the sequel yet.
Well, if Real quick, let me pull up that real quick sequel for you.
Oh, also, one aside, when this first premiered, mm-hmm. the blue light scene was in the very beginning, or in the original version. To keep the mystery going, they canceled a Q&A at the end, and they gave everybody who was watching the movie a blue thingy. And
oh,
they
cool.
kept the theater completely dark, so they had to find their way to the exit with the blue light in front of them.
That's cool.
Right? Smart.
So, basically, the plot for The Houses October Built 2, as a little end note before we get into discussion. After being rescued from their ordeal at the hands of the Blue Skeleton Haunted House, five friends decide to go through their post-trauma stress by facing their fears and going on another haunted house road trip. However, when they begin to see signs of the Blue Skeleton on their ride, they realize the nightmare they survived a year ago is far from over.
Again? Oh, come on. That's not bad. No, give me like a second. This is one of the sequels where I'd be like, no, give me a whole new set of actors. Have them,
yeah.
you know, I don't know, be some shit. Not the same people.
Yeah, buddy.
Or kill the same people in the first like 10 minutes.
Nope. Everyone is exactly the same as before.
All right, I'm going to watch it anyways. I want to see how this turns out.
You should, yeah, I might watch it later. Anyway, so that's the movie. Thoughts?
It was okay.
It was okay.
Like, it wasn't, I wouldn't call it like a, I don't know, like, for, if we've covered a lot of found footage here. It's definitely not
it's
like
a favorite.
Like a top tier, but it's not like blow either. It's just.
No, I think.
It just is what it is.
I think there's worse. However, okay, I will say right up top, if you like this kind of movie, I would recommend Hell House LLC.
Oh, I want to see that one.
It's better than this.
Okay.
I will say, even though I like them both, Hell House LLC freaked me the fuck out.
Interesting.
It's more supernatural though.
Okay. That's usually good for found footage.
Yeah. Agreed. I think supernatural and found footage it's a little bit more tied together. Even though I think the more times I watched this movie, the more I realized that I'm like, this isn't supernatural at all. This is just very...
Murdery folks.
Very immersive.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. My thoughts on this movie. Like, again, this is like the third or fourth time I've watched this movie. And each time I watch it, I'm just like...
Diminishing returns.
So. What have I done? So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I had fun for some of it. Some of the scenes are effective.
Yes.
But
and
it's
you
like
have
scenes.
Fun for some of it.
Yeah. It's just, I think the characters are too dumb.
Agreed.
They're like too dumb.
They are very dumb.
Yeah.
Like Brandy's very smart, and she's it.
She's about it, yeah.
She's the only smart character. Everyone else is kind of just like, well, we're here. We might as well just go through with it. And it's just like, what?
You know, I also wonder, too.
You can leave at any time.
Yeah. I think Bobby, the bearded dude.
Yeah.
If he looked like Zach, I don't know if he would have been as fun. He just looks different than the other guys.
Yeah. So I think, and then also he's like kind of the class clown.
Yeah.
So he kind of has like, he brings the fun ancillary character energy.
You know what? Like, I realized doing this podcast, I used to always hate these fucking side characters, but watching so many horror movies, I'm like, yeah, you guys are so different, actually. I actually really like these side characters.
Yeah.
They're like comic relief, kind mm-hmm. of like, you know, Friday the 13th dude and all that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It kind of makes you like makes you not like main characters more.
It does, absolutely. They don't have
for
the
me,
flair.
Anyway.
They don't have, they do not have the flair.
I agree. Okay, so.
Do you suspect, similarly to the birth of the haunt in the 1920s, we'll see a similar resurgence or renaissance of haunts?
Given our current political whatever.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see, like, new innovation and new, you know, something. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested to see where horror in general is going to go after this.
I feel like people are like, just waiting for something. Like, the first Universal Halloween Horror Nights that's open after this is going to be, like, the Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's, like, I'm just waiting for Universal to be like, oh, yeah, we will touch you this year.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in the safe word section of the haunt now, son.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, or, you know, just thinking of new ways to, like, up it.
Mm-hmm.
That, or I don't know. I just want to see how it's going to evolve. I think it'll be very interesting. What do you think?
I think what we'll see first is the kind of stuff that requires the waiver and all that stuff spread out a little more. You'll see the more extreme stuff become, I wouldn't say default, but definitely encroaching the space of some of the more standard default kind of haunts that we see. Because people are, you know, will have already experienced a lot of that already. I mean, Universal's only been in LA since like the early 2000s. That's 20 years.
Yeah.
We're due for more shit.
I think that Blackout, like, is a great example of this because, they're just mainly just from being such a unique and, like, innovative experience by word of mouth has traveled to be what they are now. That I heard of them, like, I knew of Blackout before this episode. Just from seeing other people do it and, like, just, like, praise. Because I'm always looking for haunts and things to try out, especially around Halloween. Like, there's, you know, like, overnight camps here in LA that you can do around Halloween where, like, there's different levels you can do where the lower level where there's just scare actors who will scare you. And then two, where someone might chase you. And then there's, like, the third level where, like, they'll, like, pull you out of your tent.
Eesh. That sounds fun.
It's like very Friday the 13th inspired, so.
No, yeah, I think what we're going to end up seeing is, like, the more commercialized version of Blackout. Like, things like where there's going to be groups and shit like that. So it's not going to be, like, one person going through, but you'll see, like, okay, you guys are part of, like, a slasher group and you're at camp, and you're going to have to survive this shit, and you get this much amount of time.
I'm interested in seeing the integration of, like, alternate reality.
Oh, AR was for like sci-fi haunts and shit.
Or
paranormal.
Even, yeah, or even just like basically just making something so immersive that it just is like it just feels so reality bending. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Or like where basically people will just take entire houses and just turn it into this entirely new reality. And I think that I'm very excited to see where that goes. And I think that also with that brings like a whole new slew of like creative directors and set design and like just storytelling.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm really excited to see where that goes.
Oh, seeing AR in one of these things? Like, you have to get through the maze, but the clues you're going to see are through your phone. So your phone's essentially your lens. Then you can have supernatural spirits or whatever pop in, and you're like, and you move it, and there's nothing there.
Yeah, or that's even, fucking cool. Like, I mean, also, even some haunts have used, or, like, obviously the ones who have, like, the money for it are doing, like, virtual reality.
Oh, virtual reality would be interesting, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all cool shit.
We'll see how the next decade plays out.
Okay, so what about this movie didn't quite work for you, or what would you like to have seen done better?
I think the whole last part of the film should have, like, happened earlier. They were spending a little too much time on the haunts, and, like...
Yeah?
I don't think it built up correctly.
I agree.
I don't know what it is. Like, they dilly-dallied a little too much, I guess.
I guess. I think they went too much... Like, yeah, I agree. I think it was, like, a very slow build-up, and then it was, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
Like, and I think... for me, like, what didn't work for me was... I think it was too, like, character-driven?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Normally, I'm okay with a character-driven horror film, because I care about the characters a lot more.
Yeah, I didn't care about these characters.
Me neither.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because, like, the characters seem dry, or maybe it was just, like, we were just trying to make them realistic, or I don't know if they just have shitty personalities. I don't know.
It could be a combination of all factors here. Yeah, they're not the best. I don't know. They're like trope ish, but like not really.
Yeah.
Like they're just people.
Yeah, and I think they went from being like cool with it to being like absolutely terrified. Like there was no middle ground.
Yeah.
And there was no like air of mystery for me.
Too many dumb decisions.
Yeah.
Just too many. Like I can understand some dumb decisions, but like this was like compounded every time. I'm like. You can literally just turn around.
At any time.
Your motivation is not strong enough.
No, nothing. Yeah, there was nothing truly forcing them to continue forward. Like in Paranormal Activity, they lived there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's just like, that's their house. This is an RV. You guys are on vacation. Like this is, you know, it's a little different.
They chose the dumbest route possible every time.
It's true. Yeah. In the Choose Your Own Adventure, they chose the bad choice.
Exactly. Every time. They're just like, you can turn back the page, man. You can go back. And they're like, no, let's just ride this out. Like, this is clearly going to spell doom. It could turn around.
You're stupid. But no, like, they, and I, what I would have liked to have seen done differently, because I think this movie has, like, the foundation of being a really strong found footage movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this could have been so, so good.
It could have been.
And that's what annoys me.
It has, see, yeah, because it has brilliance in it.
Yeah.
There's brilliance in it.
There's strokes of brilliance in this movie, and that's what upsets me, is because, like, there are parts that, like, if there was more focus of, like if there were more creepy moments of, like, Blue Skeleton, like, stalking them or, like, showing up in weird places, like, that would be cool. Or if it was more explicitly spelled out that, like, that Blue Skeleton aren't, like, a supernatural force, but, like, an actual, like, entity, like... haunt.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. Because, like, the whole time, it's kind of, like, alluded to as this, like, elusive haunt that only, you know, certain people have access to, and it also has this, like, mystical element about it.
I think that's what makes it frustrating, because, like, those kind of story deficiencies, coupled with the fact that when it does decide to be creepy, it's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually pretty effective. Totally. And it's not enough of the movie.
It just needed more of it. Like, it's, like, not creepy at all, and then it's super fucking creepy, and then it's not creepy at all. And it's just, like, there needs to be, like, some fodder in there, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Like, not, like, add fodder to make the movie longer, but, like, it needed to take over the interpersonal dumb shit.
It needed to supersede the interpersonal dumb shit, exactly. Yeah.
So that's what I think, and I would have liked to have seen that done better. But
so,
was it scary for you? Would you watch it again?
I might watch it again, but like
when?
No, I don't. I'll watch the sequel just to see. I'm curious about it.
You're curious.
I'm pretty curious about the sequel.
I'm kind of curious about it, but I don't know if I'll actually watch it.
Yeah, same here. I'm like, I say this, but I'm like, if it comes down to the point where I actually have to turn it on, I have YouTube also, and
YouTube might give you a good idea.
I don't know. It's okay. Like I wouldn't call it bad still. It's just, you know, it's just right down the middle. This is like, again, I think reviewers at the time were like, everything's been so bad, it's kind of nice to see something that isn't like 100% bad. And I was just like, well, it doesn't mean it's great.
No. But also, to play devil's advocate for a moment, that doesn't mean every single movie has to be great.
That's, you know, true.
This is a great turn your brain off.
You, like, definitely turn your brain off for this movie.
You know? Like,
100%.
This is, like... And you know how I am about turning my brain off for movies.
Yes.
I cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get high enough and I eat right before...
Yeah.
I'm good. It's smooth sailing for me.
I think this was, though, one of those turn your brain off where it's, like, right on the cusp of just, like... But not too much.
Not too much.
But not too much.
No.
I had to turn my brain off a little extra for this run.
Yeah.
Which, you know, made some parts very enjoyable, but... made the plot fucking kind of like grating.
Yeah, it's true. I think this is like a try. Like, this is just like a good down the middle. Like, it is what it is. Take it or leave it. Like, a chick you found at a bar. Like,
visually, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
could be better. Definitely could be worse.
It could be worse.
Yes. Okay, so are you actually going to do any haunts this season, though, if we get the opportunity to do so?
Absolutely. Like, this movie does not dissuade me at all.
I mean, it does the haunts well.
It does.
It does. It actually shows haunts,
if anything,
really cool.
It inspires me. Like, anything, it just makes me miss Halloween, and it makes me miss going to haunts, and it makes me miss going to events. This season, assuming that we are allowed to go places and do things, I absolutely want to go to as many haunts as humanly possible.
I agree. I think it'll be a good time.
I really do. I really do want to try to do Blackout. Like, I'm going to come out at the end of it just, like, absolutely just, like...
You're a changed person.
In a good way. But, no, I think it'll be interesting. So, rate this movie. We got there. Rate this movie.
2.5.
Okay, but you have to rate it out of 5 randomly placed cow hearts.
Oh. Oh, for doing cow hearts.
Yeah. 2.5.
No, you know what? Actually, a little lower. Maybe like 2.3. 2.3 cow hearts.
Oh, only because it's cow hearts?
No, if it was another aspect, I'd probably do 2.3 also. Okay. Just because, like, I know 2.5 is down the middle. I'm still going to knock it a little bit because they're just so dumb.
I'll give it 2.5.
You give it 2.5?
Yeah. I'm not going to knock off points for stupid decisions.
It's just a little too stupid. Like, if you were fun and stupid, it'd be different.
That's fair.
But, like, if 3 of your cast members, I can't even tell the difference between them.
That's also fair.
Yeah.
Although, in the defense of them, I'm pretty sure 2 of them are brothers.
Okay, well, that makes sense then. That sucks. I don't know. It's a found footage movie.
It's definitely it's a found footage movie. Yeah, I'll give it 2.5. But this is fun. I haunts and the history of haunts and Halloween.
Oh, I love that part of it. That was funner than the movie. Got me a little hot.
It's one of the things that like is very I'm passionate about, and it's something that brings me great joy. So I'm happy I was able to bring it up. Totally unintentional.
No, happy to learn more about it. To be honest with you, it's great. That part's awesome.
Yeah, that was
I
want
to do more.
So if you liked this movie, or if you didn't like this movie because you wanted more from this movie, like you expected more, if you had
it's a good summation of it right there. Yes, I.
I highly recommend Hell House LLC or Haunt on Netflix.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
There you go.
I feel like this would be one of those things, though, that we're going to post on Instagram again and be like, check it out, guys, our next episode. And people are like, oh, I love this movie. And we're going to be like, fuck.
We spent the entire movie just being like.
We kind of shit on it pretty considerably.
Oh my God, we did that so bad for what was it?
Halloween 4.
It was Halloween 4.
Halloween 4. Oh boy. Sorry, fans.
I am so sorry.
You guys were like.
So excited.
So DMing us and shit. Like,
I'm so excited.
You guys are covering it, and we're just like,
this is not good.
We're definitely doing that.
Anyway, I have a TV to go pick up, so.
Yeah, and also, birth month, what can we expect? What can we expect, Senorita Webster? When, what?
Shit better than this.
Yes.
Next week, we are covering our very first TV show ever.
Oh my God, I'm actually really excited about this.
Our very first TV show, one of my personal favorites, integral for shaping me, who I am as a person, 2 classic episodes that are scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very excited.
We're going into it.
We're just gonna go,
into it. Oh, I'm psyched.
I'm very, very excited.
I haven't seen the show since I was a youngling.
Oh yeah, definitely earlier seasons don't age very well, but it's a great little blast from the past. So
no, give me that 4x3 fucking. I want
that's what I want.
That's what
it is.
It's
gonna be badass. I'm really excited to talk about it. So join us next week for that. It's enough hint as it is. You probably can guess it. But yeah, so next week join us for that, and then the rest of the month, you know, I gave you hints last week, but we're gonna be covering some really fun shit.
It's gonna get weird.
We have a foreign film after that, and we have a vampire movie, so.
And a special guest.
So it'll be a great time had by all. And then, yeah, next week is my birthday, or the next week, the week of next week will be the week of my birthday.
The episode. Yes. Episode week. Birth week.
Week. Whatever. So, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this week. That was The Houses October Built from 2014, directed by Bobby Rowe. If you like what you heard, even if you didn't like the movie, you can still give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It means the absolute world to us. And then you can also give us, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Share with your bros.
Share. That would be awesome. We have, what is this, episode 83?
Yeah, that's right. The thriller episode, remember?
Oh, this is our thriller episode.
That's right.
So this is episode 83. So we have a huge back catalog of episodes. So if there's something that, you know, you want to explore or send to a buddy, please do so. It helps us tremendously. Like, you have no idea.
And we cover a swath of horror. So you'll find
so
something.
Much.
You'll find some.
We try to have a good diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Outside of that, you can find us on social media to stay up to date on the latest and greatest, everything podcast related. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Horror People Pod. And then we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyperolean Hustler. And then you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop.
Sweet.
If you want to send me birthday wishes. other than that, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Sorry to subject you to this movie, but if you want to have a good time, check it out.
Yeah. Remember, just... if you're just looking for found footage, it's there.
It's there. We have the technology. Anyway, thanks, guys. Catch you next week.
Peace.
Bye.